Besides the continuities of identity we find between the Old and New Testament churches, there are also important continuities between their purposes. In both testaments, God regularly used his church to advance his kingdom, and his plans never failed. The New Testament church is not God's contingency plan. It's the natural development of the Old Testament assembly. And one way to verify this is to look at God's purposes for his people in both ages. So, how similar were God's purposes for the Old Testament church and the New Testament church?
When we speak of the church in the New Testament, it's important to realize that it's not totally brand new. It's rooted back in terms of God's redemptive purposes with Israel of old. God has one people, one plan that from all eternity he has had, and then he has worked it out in redemptive history and unfolded it for us. In the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, they were the chosen people of God. They were chosen as an ethnic nation for a number of reasons, primarily to bring about the coming of the Messiah, to bring about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would, in terms of fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, would bring blessing to both Jew and Gentile in terms of the whole world. Within the nation of Israel, as that ethnic nation, there were believers within that nation. Not all Israel is Israel. Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 9. So that just because one was an ethnic Jew, an ethnic Israelite, a covenant member in that way, did not guarantee that they had saving faith. You could think of, you could have simultaneously Elijah and Ahab. And you got a great contrast there with those two individuals. The believing remnant from the Old Testament are the people of God. Those were the ones who would, we would say, experience salvation the way we're speaking about it in terms of the New Testament. The rest of the people would have had incredible privileges, blessings. They would have had redemption. You think of at the Exodus, many of them were redeemed from Egypt, brought out of slavery. That didn't necessarily mean, though, that they had the full salvation sense of redemption. And so only those by grace, through faith, in the Old Testament were the true people of God that then carry over in continuity to the church. The church is comprised of those by grace, through faith, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in God's promises. The Old Testament believer believed in God's promises, covenantal promises, that looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. The church now, in light of his coming, believes in him with greater understanding, greater clarity, but the same promise, the same Redeemer. We are all one in that. We are as one people of God throughout the ages. Yet, obviously, in the New Testament, there are some differences. There's the fulfillment that has taken place. There's the greater understanding. There is the whole community that are comprised of those who are regenerate and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must not minimize the continuity, the sameness of the people of God of old, of the church in the new. We must not so separate Israel and the true people of God in terms of believers in the old from the church, and remembering that there is one people, one plan, and that is still being worked out. And in the new heaven, new earth, when Christ comes again and consummates all things, both Jew and Gentile, those who are faith believers in the Old Testament, the true church comprised of Jew, Gentile, and all the nations are those who will bow before the knee of the Lord Jesus Christ and give him praises for all eternity.
It's a great thing to think about the continuity between the purpose of the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, because it really stems, I would argue, particularly from God's covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 12, God promises Abraham not only that Abraham, who at that point, of course, was childless, would have a seed that could not be counted, but that through Abraham, the nations would be blessed. And we see that working its way out through the Old Testament. Israel is called to be a people who are distinctive to the Lord, and yet also a people who represent the Lord and his reign among the nations. They're called the kingdom of priests, as they gather at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. And priests stand in the presence of God and serve Him, but they also have a role of standing on behalf of others and interceding for others, as Aaron and his sons did for Israel, so Israel is to do for the nations. Of course, we know that Israel in so many ways failed, as we would have failed, to be that kingdom of priests, to be that avenue through which blessing would flow from God through Israel to all the nations. But Jesus is the ultimate seed of Abraham. And now in Christ, the New Covenant Church is both the recipient of blessing through Jesus, the seed of Abraham, and the avenue of blessing among the nations. So we stand, as Israel stood, in the presence of God to bring Him glory, to adore Him, to admire Him, to speak of His marvelous deeds. God speaks of Israel's calling in Isaiah 43 as the people whom He formed for Himself to declare His praises. Peter picks up that very terminology in 1 Peter 2 and talks about our being called out of darkness into light that we might speak the excellencies of the One who called us in Christ. Israel, we read, is called to be the Lord's witnesses among the nations, to declare what He's done, that He alone is the Savior and the God and the true and the living God. And we read now in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that the apostles and really in their ministry, the church is called to be witnesses to the mighty deeds of God among the nations. So there's a great deal of continuity of purpose as we move from what Israel was called to be, sadly too often failed to be, what Christ has been perfectly as the perfect worshiper of the Father on our behalf and the perfect witness to the nations on our behalf. And now what He's making us, we're still imperfect, but by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can worship in the presence of the Father and we can bear witness to the nations. So the blessing promised to Abraham is flowing to the nations through Christ, from Christ, through the witness and the worship of His church.